From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A memorial service for Nipsey Hussle is to be held this Thursday at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. The Grammy-nominated rapper and local entrepreneur and social justice activist was tragically gunned down outside of his own store on March 31st, the day after his killing. Hundreds of people gathered to mourn him, and the memorial that took place there has now grown. Hussle was beloved for remaining in the community that he grew up in, buying a property in South Los Angeles in order to reinvest in it. Meanwhile, the man accused of killing Hussle, Eric Holder, is pleading not guilty to the shooting. My guest is Kiana Salina. She's a grassroots organizer and a recording artist based in Los Angeles. Welcome, Kiana.
Thank you.
So before we get to his legacy as a social justice activist and community organizer and what he meant, let's talk about Nipsey Hussle's music. He made mixtapes for years, for over a decade, and it wasn't until last February that he actually released his very first debut album. So he was someone who was known on the scene and then finally put out his album just a year ago, and it was so highly acclaimed that it was nominated for a Grammy. Tell us a little bit about his music.
Sure. I first came across his music in 2010 when he emerged on a national scene, an international scene, with a collaboration with a singer named Lloyd called Feeling Myself. And at the time, I was living in the South Bay area up north, in Northern California, the Silicon Valley area. And, you know, his name was ringing bells even then. And so for him to come into his national and international platform through a very self-made, a very self-made strategy with selling his mixtapes on Slauson and Crenshaw and continuing to just progress and continue to prepare for the role that he was a step into is magnificent. A lot of times these artists that come out today are not so much as self-made as recognized by social media or go viral or go through the reality TV scene, but he was someone who truly embodied what he stood for when he said he was running a marathon, and that meant the protracted struggle of coming into national prominence and international prominence through the mixtape scene. And his, you know, he was not just a rapper to me, he was an orator. He was something like Malcolm X. And what made him and Malcolm X have the same likeness is the fact that they were both orators and that they were both from the streets. They both spoke the language of the most disenfranchised and oppressed people. And that is what made him so authentic to people. That is what, to me, got him onto the national scene and the prominence, you know, with his diligence, because he was an orator. So I don't just see him as a rapper. I see him as the likes of Malcolm X and someone whose potential was cut short before he had a chance to reach into that and to become that and fully manifest himself into the person that he was becoming.
So let's now discuss a little bit about what he did with the leverage that he gained through his musicianship. He, you know, with this Grammy nominated album, rose to prominence. But even before that, he was someone who, as I mentioned, remained in South Los Angeles. What was his vision for his community? And how did he actually, you know, walk the walk and not just talk the talk?
Hussle was laying the blueprint for economic empowerment. This is why it is such a deep, deep loss and such a deep chasm to have him taken away from us. I come from Silicon Valley. I come from the South Bay Area. I have an aunt who was the sole employee of her own business in Probe Technology. I seen what the tech boom did for the Silicon Valley area. And he was trying to bridge the gap between Silicon Valley and Los Angeles. And it would have given a lot of opportunities to a lot of disenfranchised, but very prolific, very smart and genius people who don't have a platform to express it on. So, you know, his blueprint to me represented a threat to the status quo. And I do believe that his enemies go from very high places down to, you know, the lowest disenfranchised place, because there is a lot of development being done in the South Central area with the Crenshaw Metro Rail Line and with you know, the Olympics coming here in about 10 years. And I do believe that maybe some developers wanted him out of the way for what he was planning on doing with that strip mall on Slauson and Crenshaw, the plans that he had and the capacity that he had to fulfill those plans and to manifest his vision. I believe that we took a great loss because Nipsey Hussle represented everything that America tells Black men to be. They say, pull up your pants. They say, you know, figure out how to learn how to run a business. You know, they tell us, if you want to stay alive and if you don't want us to kill you anymore, this is what you need to do. And he embodied all of that. He was not just talking, but he was manifesting that vision. And I can tell you, as a community organizer, many times I've stood outside of the door of elected officials and knocked and begged for them to make good on the community that they represent, on the community that elected them. And he was not someone who was standing in front of elected officials with his hand out. He was someone who said, hey, look, I can grind from the bottom to the top, and I can, you know, I can jumpstart my own goals. I can jumpstart my own vision. He had a vision for the community that he came from. And I think that maybe that might not have been in line with the gentrifiers and the developers of this community. So I want to take into consideration that anyone who might have had it out for Nipsey Hussle might have been someone in that ballpark that did not like that he had a vision for South Central that did not align with their capitalist venture.
So I want to actually play a video that I found on your Instagram feed of a very young Nipsey Hussle speaking with KPFA programmer, longtime KPFA programmer, Davey D of Hard Knock Radio. Davey has long been, you know, on the forefront of covering hip hop politics. And this is what Nipsey Hussle said to Davey D many, many years ago. Not quite sure exactly when this was, but as you can see in the video for our TV audience, Nipsey Hussle, quite young here.
What's your name, man? You new and upcoming, but you're at this summit. What's your name? Where you from?
My name Nipsey Hussle. I'm from L.A., Slauson and Crenshaw area, you know.
Okay, well, Nipsey Hussle, that's named after Nipsey Russell, the comedian.
Correct, yes, yes.
So talk a little bit about yourself, man. What brings you up here, up and coming, and, you know, how come you're not blinging and having all kind of crazy diamonds and all that? I guess you're here to get your money right, huh?
All the time, man. You know, all that is cool for the image and all that, but all them is liabilities, you feel me? I'd rather invest in some real estate, you know what I'm saying?
Something can you repeat that again, man? You're up-and-coming artist. What did you say you want to do?
I said invest in some assets as opposed to trick off my money on some liabilities like diamonds. You know what I'm saying? Cars that lose value, so you drive them off the lot.
So you're trying to get land.
Exactly, homie. A real asset. Take care of my peoples, because, you know, it look good, but at the end of the day, you losing value, homie. It ain't appreciating, it's depreciating.
And that is a video of Nipsey Hussle speaking with KPFA programmer Davey D, quite young, talking about taking care of my people, quote unquote, and wanting to invest in real estate. Kiana Salina is my guest. She's a grassroots organizer, a recording artist based here in Los Angeles, where our program is also based. Nipsey Hussle clearly had a long-term vision for what sounded like a Black-owned, Black-run economy. It's in sort of terms of this idea of self-determination that I think you were referring to when you talked about Malcolm X.
Yes, ma'am. When you look at the way Nipsey's life was cut down, it reminds me of Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, being burned to the ground. It reminds me of so many Black townships in America that were burned to the ground because they were self-determining and because he represented the people. You know, he was a culmination of so many of our greatest Black heroes, from Muhammad Ali, who represented the people, who represented from Africa to the ghettos of America, just like Nipsey Hussle, Malcolm X, an orator, you know, who came from the hood, who spoke the language of the hood and the ghettos in America. But he was smart and self-made. He wasn't like Obama, who went to Harvard to be self-made and to be savvy and genius. He was from our community and rose into this prominence with the plan for South Central. And you know, he was so different. You know, a lot of these rappers out here, they go when they get what they call a Jesus piece. They go and get Jesus on a chain around their neck. He rocked Malcolm X. on a chain around his neck. He was different. He was set apart. And our community took a great loss. Just about 2 weeks ago, I was driving past the Crenshaw Mall on Martin Luther King Boulevard, and I saw the billboard of Nipsey Hussle, and I pointed it out to my five-year-old, and I said, look, look, he comes from our neighborhood. He comes from our community. Look.
And this was before he was killed.
Yes, yes. He was an inspiration. You felt his star rising. You knew, I mean, you know, some people are just coming now into the awareness of who he was and who he stood for. But for some of us who are, you know, paid attention to the community work that was being done in South Central Los Angeles and to the work of those who speak for our people, he was in the news. You saw him speaking about bridging the gap between Silicon Valley and Los Angeles and giving the children in Los Angeles a chance to break into endeavors in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. You saw him, you know, on the news speaking about the businesses that he was opening as they were being opened and saying, hey, this here is going to be a restaurant and this is our barbershop. This is our clothing store. This is what we plan on. You know, he had vision. He wasn't standing there begging. You know, and so this is what I mean when I say Tulsa, Oklahoma, you feel like a Black township was burned down. And he was not only just building it for himself, you know, but he was building it for his community. He was building it for our community. And you could look and see a billboard of him in his own community. You could look and see him in spreads doing in GQ magazine. I mean, and that's so rare. A lot of these celebrities, a lot of these so-called people who represent the Black liberation struggle, you don't find them in the communities that they come from. In Los Angeles, you find them in West Hollywood somewhere. You do not find them, you know, in a store that they own right here in the community. They're not accessible. And that's why they called him Neighborhood Nipsey, why they called him Neighbor, because he was truly for the people like Muhammad Ali.
There were reports that he was due to meet with LA Police Department officials to discuss ending gang violence right before he was killed. There was also, I understand, a huge peace rally over the weekend between gangs in Los Angeles in his honor. What was his position on that? And, you know, some have made much of the fact that he apparently was at one point a gang member himself.
Right. I mean, but we saw him go and do songs with the Game from Compton, who has, you know, pretty explicitly represented being what you would call an opposing gang of the, you know, place that and the street tribe that Nipsey Hussle came from. But he was someone who could walk into any neighborhood with, you know, thousands of dollars worth of jewelry on and be respected because he was so authentic, because he was one of us, because he represented us. That is not something that you see from a lot of so-called gangster rappers. They cannot just walk into any neighborhood. They, you know, they hide out in their tour bus. They're not truly for the people and from the people. And you can see that in their lack of proximity to the people, you know, and as you said, there are people that are coming together from different street tribes, different areas, just in a common love for Nipsey Hussle and a common celebration of his life, a common mourning. People from the Eritrean community to the greater African diaspora, the ghettos and hoods of America, were all in mourning because he was our shining prince. His father was from Eritrea. His mother was Black American, but his father was from Eritrea.
So he has immigrant roots.
Yes, yes. And he represented that community well in a climate where Donald Trump was, you know, trying to sow dissent and division between Black America, between, you know, Americans and the immigrant community. Nipsey Hussle came out very explicitly in a collaboration with YG, another rapper, and made the song F Donald Trump. And, you know, you had people like Kanye West, like Steve Harvey, that immediately began to go and kiss Trump's feet the minute that Trump went into office. And it was a way of saying, yes, the boss, you know, sitting at the master's feet and saying, hey, look, master's friendly. He's okay. Nipsey Hussle was not a slave. He made it very clear in his song Dedication. I refuse to be a slave. I own my own masters, royalties, publishing. I refuse to be a slave, you know, and so he represented that very well. And he said it wouldn't be, he echoed Tupac's words when he said it wouldn't be LA without Mexicans. And if it's time to team up, let's begin. Black love, brown pride, and the sets again. He made it very clear, I'm not for the divide and conquer. And you have a lot of fake black nationalists like Dr. Boyce Watkins who's saying, well, you know, I'm not necessarily a Trump fan, but I support his efforts in building the wall. What have immigrants done for black people? And, you know, like Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. said, if you do not acknowledge the contradictions among the people, they can be used against you. And so, yes, we do. There is some anti-blackness in the Chicano community, but understand that is not the full story of the black and brown struggle and the liberation struggles together, Chicano self-determination. The Brown Berets and the Black Panthers historically collaborated, and any time as a grassroots organizer that I was out there on behalf of anyone black, there were people from the Chicano Nation too, because their people are killed by police too. There's always been black and brown love in the streets, and he very explicitly represented his anti-imperialist agenda in his song at a time when I'm sure it brought a lot of attention to him. So when I say pay attention to who his enemies can go from Trump on down. And I don't want to ever, you know, be subtle about the threat that was represented by someone like Nipsey Hussle. Anywhere that I have traveled abroad, I have seen in the poor communities, hip hop culture as a way to empower the people. So he represented hip hop culture. He was an orator, but he was authentic to hip hop culture. He was able to go into any neighborhood and represent those people and get a pass from those neighborhoods. So I recognize something when all of a sudden now he is killed, when his star is rising, when he's doing spreads in GQ magazine right there on Slauson with his family, with his wife, Lauren London. So
finally, Kiana, how would you like to see his legacy built upon in Los Angeles? Some have said, you know, of course, listen to his music, buy his music, but then what about his social justice legacy and the vision that he had for Los Angeles? Are you hopeful that others will take what Nipsey ushered in and embodied and expand on it in terms of reinvesting in one's own community?
I believe he definitely left some very big shoes to fill. And the reason I say that is because his authenticity and coming from the have-nots, but learning how to become business savvy on his own and investing and having the vision to do things like want to bridge the gap between Silicon Valley and Los Angeles when it comes to tech. Our elected officials should have thought of that a long time ago, all the different elected officials that have come through California. But he was someone who stepped out on that faith and stepped out on that vision. And so I believe that what he left us with was a huge vision and something that was in the making. I don't think his vision was done. I don't think he had probably shared the vision in the capacity fully that he had for South Central Los Angeles, for Los Angeles, for California, nationally, internationally. And so I would like to see those people who are in those lanes, who are in the STEM, you know, in the tech community, begin to make that work in communities like South Central Los Angeles, invest in those communities. And for people like me who come from the circumstances that he come from, I come from East Palo Alto, a community that was once the murder capital in the United States, a community that was ridden with drugs and violence. You know, I had lots of health problems because I'm a crack baby. My mother and my parents were on crack. And so, you know, he was given a lot of motivation to people who come from what we come from and saying, look, dedication, all you need is dedication. And we see, you know, people who come from authentic circumstances and then they go and align themselves with the imperialists. He didn't. He drew a clear line. He was still very anti-imperialist, very black and brown, you know, unity oriented. But at the same time, he had a vision to step out on, and that went anywhere from handing backpacks out and shoes out to children in elementary schools, to clothing stores, to restaurants, barbershops. I mean, he was building a black township here in South Central Los Angeles. And I think that we definitely need to continue that work. A lot of naysayers will just try to write him off and count him off as an average, you know, black thug from a community. That's not what he was. That's not what he represented. He represented more than any of those people ever will in a lifetime. And so we uplift his name, we uplift his purpose, we just continue to try and fulfill those shoes and fulfill his vision and keep that motivation and that dedication that he put to us in victory lap. It was medicine for oppressed people.
Well, we'll go out with a clip from Dedication featuring Kendrick Lamar off of his album, off of Nipsey Hussle's first and last album, Victory Lap. Kiana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Speak on such a beautiful icon of our culture.
Thank you. Kiana Selena is a grassroots organizer and a recording artist based in Los Angeles. We've been discussing the legacy of Nipsey Hussle in Los Angeles and beyond. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe for our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.
My nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. It's a real nigga celebration. It's a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. It's the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the matrix. Red rose in the great pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. No, he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platforms to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. But deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparations. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication.